Amen. Luke chapter number 18. We'll look at verse number 7 and just the thought that lies within it. And we've been talking about prayer. And I'll say this about prayer. If you don't pray, you don't talk to God. That's real deep right there, ain't it? If you don't pray, you just don't talk to God. And if you don't talk to God, chances are real good He ain't talking to you. Somebody said this one time, said prayer is me talking to God. Meditation is God talking to me. And we've got out of that. We got out of that. Used to be old men of God talk about just sitting around just meditating on the things of God. And I couldn't stand riding in a car without a radio on. Now, if you're probably about 21 and below, you're like that now. Got to have music playing. You got to have something. But my dad used to tell me, Brother Mike, he said, son, I remember one time we was going down the road. I was riding with him, and he had the radio off. And I reached over and turned the radio on. And he reached over and turned the radio back off. He said, son, silence is golden. Anybody agree with that right now? Look at. Wow. The young lady right there with her hand up. Technology, I appreciate that. Silent, quiet. Yeah. Amen. Hey, all it takes is children in the house. Crying. Mama. Mama. They don't never call out for daddy. Okay. That'll let you know, big boy, right where you stand in the line, okay? How important you are in this thing. Mama is extremely important. Amen. God bless mothers. Amen. But that silence is golden, and I like it now. And I like riding down the highway just thinking about the things of God. Thank you, Brother Gary. I'll see just something on the side of the road. Give me a thought for a message. Just sit there and think about it. If I had music on, I'd have missed that. I'd missed it. He said in chapter 18, in verse number 7, said, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him. We was up there at this meeting in North Carolina, and they're talking about the elect of God. And the old preacher, Brother Ray, what's his name? Brother, somebody help me. Brother Ray, older man. Anybody know who I'm talking about? All I know is Ray right now. My mind's went blank on me. But he's an older man, and they got to help him up and down. And he said he asked somebody one day about who is God's elect. And I said, the fellow said it like this. He says, well, he said he's called, he has laid a salvation out there for every man. And he said, all them that accept it ends up being in the elect. He said, them that trust Christ, that's become the apple of his eye. We got grafted in. The Bible said in the Old Testament, them Jews was the apple of his eye. But I'm telling you, I'm not a Jew by birth, but I'm a Jew because I got grafted in. Gentile, just best way to say it, Brother Darnell, is a sinner saved by grace. Amen? Amen. Father, I pray you'd help us for a little while tonight. Touch our hearts, God, I need you. I pray that you'd touch my heart. Help me, Lord, please. Touch me, use me. Fill me, God, please. Touch this message. May it encourage somebody. May it strengthen somebody. And may we leave here tonight, saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Amen. I want to preach on just this thought if I could. He said they cry day and night unto Him. That should be you and I. And if it is, you and I will know and testify in unity about the power of prayer. And that's what I want to look at, the power of prayer. Turn, if you would, over in your Bibles, back to the book of Judges. And there's a man over here that You'd have thought if they'd been anybody in the world that would have prayed, Judges chapter number, you can probably just start out anywhere, about 13. And if there was ever a man that you'd have thought would have prayed, would you not agree with me that you'd have thought Samson would have been a man of prayer? Wouldn't you have thought Samson would have been a man that before he made decisions, he'd have prayed about it, Brother John? He'd have asked God to make sure what he's doing was right and what he was doing was in parallel with what the Lord wanted and was in the will of God. But you know, the more I looked at this thing and thought about the life of Samson and looked at Samson, there's a lot of things about prayer that Samson did not know. There's a lot of things about prayer that Samson did not do. And I'm afraid that in this life that we live right now, there's a lot of Christians that just don't pray. There might be somebody in here tonight. You might say, well, Brother Edward, I prayed when I got saved. Why should I pray more? Well, I like, you know what? Whenever my wife, they asked me and my wife this question. We got married, you know, about us loving each other and all this stuff. And was she going to stay with me? And was I going to stay with her? And was we going to die together? And all this kind of stuff like this. And we said, I do, and we do. And January would be 33 years ago, we said all that. And thank God we ain't had to talk about that dying much no more. We did talk about it one time, and I told her, I said, Lord, we done been married 25. I think we've been married about 20, 25 years, and I said, ain't no way we'll make another. And the more we thought about it, I'd about get teared up and everything, you know, and thinking, Lord, we're just about done here. And I didn't want her to go out looking for somebody else just in case, get them on the line, you know. But it got real serious, Brother Mike, you know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at the life of Samson, and I'm thinking about how God's children pray and call out to Him, and that's what you and I do. I think that's what we have seen take place in this country. There was a lot of stuff that took place. I've never seen advertisements promoting one person that's running for the presidency as vile as I have this time, Brother Gary. I've never seen so much mudslinging. I can't help it. When I think about a good president, I look back in my mind and I know I'm not very old, Brother Albert, but I look back and I can look back and I can remember Reagan running for office and any of those men, even prior to him, their focus was on what they were going to do for this country. They wasn't trying to dig up dirt and sling mud on each other. And we've listened to so much of that stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you. What Hillary Clinton put out there in her advertisements, she says, and I approve of this, was enough to make me not want to vote for her. I'll just say, they was advertisements she put out there, and neither one of these people is perfect. Are you listening to me? Neither one of them is perfect, but I believe this with all my heart. Neither one of them was praying. Because all the stuff she's throwing out there, And the humiliation that she's trying to throw on somebody and things that he's saying about little girls and these little children, also, them little girls would have never known he said that kind of stuff. She hadn't put it out there. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. I'm just talking about people using just good common sense and praying before they're talking. Amen. Amen. That's why God gave us two ears to listen twice as much as how much we speak. Amen. One mouth, two ears. He wants us to listen. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. I'm saying tonight that there's power in prayer, and if we use it right, God will bless us. Oh, notice number one. Prayer humbles the person that prays. It's humbling to pray. Have you ever thought about you compared to him? Have you ever thought about heaven being his throne and earth being his footstool? And here I am, and I'm telling you, if I was walking across his footstool, I don't know if I could walk from one end to the other without just dying. It will wear it out. Wear it out. You say, I could drive it. I said, walking. Walking. Just walking. Walking from one end to the other. Walking all the way around this place. His footstool. I'm saying he is so much bigger than us. He is so much more powerful than us. He is so much more wisdom than us. I'm saying it is humbling for you and I to be able to fall on our face before God and ask Him for anything. Anything. Whatever it is. You say, well, there's some stuff I don't have to ask for. Well, for the stuff you don't have to ask for, you ought to thank Him for it. Amen. Judges chapter number, I told you 13, but let's look at verse number 6, chapter number 16. I told you chapter 13, but let's look at verse number 16. I might be wrong, but I'm thinking I read through this thing back and forth, and I'm looking, but I'm thinking this is like one of the very few times and only times that Samson prayed. Now, Samson's mama, I believe she's a prayer warrior. Samson's daddy prayed. He talked to the angel of the Lord. He prayed. But as far as Samson, he ain't prayed. But there come a day that he had to pray. There come a day, I'm telling you young people, listen to me. He had done everything just like every other young person. He wanted to jump out there and sow his wild oats. He wanted to jump out there. Boy, I mean, he seen things he liked. He saw a girl he liked. He saw somebody that would have been the perfect mate. He said, she pleases me well. I'm telling you, in his eyes, he was satisfied. But everything that corresponds to all that, and I know, don't be mad at me what I'm going to say, but his mom and daddy didn't understand that this is the will of God. That's what Scripture says. And so now, when it comes down to the place where he has been, he's had his eyes bored out. They've hooked him up to grind corn. They literally, he's come to the place now where he is worthless to society. The only people that would have loved him was his parents and the family of his parents. And he decides to pray. Don't you know that was kind of humiliating? Kind of humbling? How you reckon he started that prayer out, Brother Donnell? Oh, man. I wonder, Sister Geraldine, I wonder how would you start out a prayer when you have been set apart from birth to be used of God? And your whole life, you have just went the opposite way of what your family thought. You've went, I mean, we talk about the prodigal son, but I'm telling you, Samson, he detoured, friend. But there come a time when he had to pray. I wonder how he started. How you reckon, Brother Aubrey? You reckon he started out and said, Lord, this is Samson. And I don't hardly ever talk to you. I'm sorry. But I got one more request for my life. I don't want to pray like that. I don't want to lay my head down tonight before I go to sleep. Say, well, everything you've done for me today, I deserved. You know, that's the mindset of all Christians. I don't want to wake up in the morning and act like I'm going to get up and start my day and just go in it blindsided and not even say good morning, Lord. Huh? Here he comes down, Brother Darnell, to the very end of his life. Chapter 16, Judges, chapter 16, verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. Remember me. I can't help it, Brother John. I'm thinking that prayer humbles the person who prays. And people that don't ain't very humble. Because that old pride, you know I got a problem with it already. What would it be like, Brother Gary, if I didn't pray? What would it be like? Oh, Brother Terry Silvers preached that message last night. Man, I'm telling you, he preached a charge on preachers. Did he, Brother Mike? Wasn't that great? Bunch of preachers. He said, bunch of stinking preachers, too lazy to work. He said, not only are you too lazy to work, he said, you think that you God's blessing to them people? I want to resign last night. I didn't say that last night, but I'm sitting there thinking, I ain't preaching tomorrow night. Well, God done work today along the way. Amen. I'm just going to tell you. He helped me. Amen. I said, well, Lord, there's a bunch of folk there. They can preach tonight. I'm saying it's humbling It's humbling. It is humbling to be able to pray. Not only that, but prayer keeps our knees before God. Pride and prayer. Pride and prayer. Pride hinders prayer, and prayer dispels pride. Pride will keep you here and not here. Be honest. Just a second. Be honest with me. Just a second. Would you do that? Just how many of us at one time or another, we felt like we need to go to altar and pray and wouldn't do it because we were afraid of what somebody thought? Me. I believe every one of us. I just prayed this morning. Did you not see me down there this morning? If I go back down there tonight, everybody thinks, when they see us go to the altar and pray, they think that we're in the middle of a big storm.
Right.
Have you ever thought that there's just some people like to go to the altar and thank God for being God?
Amen.
I mean, just thank Him for being good and thank Him for blessing and thank Him for loving you and thank Him for using you and thank Him for calling you. I mean, just thanking Him for whatever. Everything ain't storm related. Everything ain't a crisis. Amen. Amen. I'm not hungry every day. Amen. Hey, some days I ain't before I got to church. Hallelujah. Prayer keeps our knees before the Lord. Verse number 20. When we don't pray, are you listening to me? When we don't pray, we forget about the very needs that we have. When we don't pray, we forget that God, if it wasn't for the Lord, Brother Jeff, if it wasn't for God, when we don't pray, we forget. We quit praying for our family. We quit praying for our parents and quit praying for our children. We forget the needs, the necessities that there is in the life of a Christian in prayer. In verse number 20, he wist not that the Spirit of God left him.
Yes.
Now, if you ain't never been there, you don't know what it feels like. But I've been there. Spirit of God didn't leave me. But the presence of God and the power of God. And if you, any kind of a Christian whatsoever, live in this vile, wicked world, you pray for the presence of God with you all the time. I pray for that hedge. I pray for that touch. I don't even want to witness. Brother Daniel, I don't even want to witness to somebody without God touching my heart and breaking my heart over them. Because I'm telling you, if I just jump out there in my flesh and start doing it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to act stupid. I'm going to say things that's going to hurt them. I'm going to say things that's going to be mean. I'm going to say things that'll be cruel. And before it's over with, if you don't mind, what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to do my dead level best to make them just like me. Now, wouldn't that be a pitiful sight? Wouldn't you hate to know that you are the same kind of Christian I am? I'd hate for you to be. I'd tell you, if I thought you was the same kind of Christian I am, I'd say, you better get repentance, what you better get to do. Hey, man, you better start getting right with God. I know me. They can't a day go by that we can't pray. We got to pray. We're going to this trip. You better be praying, son. I'm telling you. You better be praying, Brother Gary. We got to be praying. God, help us. God, protect us.
Yes, sir.
Use us. Brother Ben, I believe with all my heart, he's praying. God, use me. God, send me. God, somewhere you've got people with the same burden that I've got. God, and listen, most people don't even want to say it like this, but when we pray for something like this, you're going to pray. God, if I was you, you know how I'd pray? I'd say, Lord, burden them for what I'm burdened for, so they'll help me. How would you pray? If you're a missionary. Brother Terry told me last night, he says, so Brother Edward, he said, you starting to help ministries a little bit, ain't you? I said, a little bit, going here and there. He said, how are you doing it? I said, how do you afford it? I said, I don't know. I said, Lord's making a way. I said, Brother Study told me that I need some raise some support because I can't afford to travel and go and do all that. I said, but I just can't go to another pastor and say I already receive a salary from our church. Can you help me also? I can't do that. He told me this. He said, yeah. He said, Brother Earl got over that too. You will. That's what he said. He said, Brother Earl got over it. And he did. He did. I appreciated him. He did. Prayer keeps our knees before the Lord. Verse number 20, he said, and she said, the Philistines be upon these steps. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before my, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. I've been down at the jailhouse, Brother Darnell, and I didn't know the Lord wasn't with me. He said, you mean you lost your salvation? Oh, no. No. I just wasn't prayed up and the power of God wasn't there on me. And I promise you this, you stand up there and think you're fixing to preach and you look at a man that's full of the devil. How you know he's full of the devil? Man, I just knew. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up. Are you listening to me? I said, Lord, you remember Nehemiah? That little short prayer he gave? I said, I'm begging you right now to help me. And that didn't happen again. That didn't happen. You know why? Because I saw the necessity of being prayed up. This thing ain't about me. This thing ain't about us. John said, I must decrease so that he can increase. That let me know, if it ain't about John, it sure ain't about me. It sure ain't about me. Let me say it again. It sure ain't about me. It sure ain't about us. It's about him. Hallelujah. Prayer keeps our knees before God. Prayer seeks a divine response. Who you pray to? You didn't believe this, but a lot of people don't pray to the Lord. They're praying. They just ain't praying to God. They're praying that paycheck. Instead of asking God to take care of that financial need, they're saying, Lord, would you stretch this paycheck? It's all I got. A divine response is what I need. I need something from heaven, Brother Jeff. I don't need God to stretch my paycheck. I'm not going to put confidence and trust in my paycheck. I'm wanting to see the hand of God falling in my face with the answers to my prayers right there. It's not the way that I might be able to talk to somebody. Lord, you gave me a personality to talk to people, God. Bless my personality and let it get better. No, God, help me to deny myself. Paul said, I crucify this flesh. He said, nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's the Lord, Brother Albert. It's the Lord that does that work in us. And it's the Lord does that work to us. And when the answer to our prayers come, we won't be so quick, Jonathan. Well, God done something great for me. God did it. God did it. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I so appreciate you. I appreciate you answering my prayer. I appreciate you taking care of it all. I look over here. Look back to chapter 13. Chapter number 13. The Bible says this in verse number 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Man, I mean, listen, God. I'm afraid that sometimes our prayers, some of the most silly things that could be said. Asking for foolishness. Now, I know, listen, there ain't nothing that you and I need to do. especially if you're a parent with young children. You need to teach your children to pray. Teach them to pray. Old Brother Kenny Morris said, he used to teach his kids to pray about everything. Tell them to pray about everything. And I promise you, it won't hurt them, because when they get older, when they grow up and they get in their late teens and early 20s, they're going to learn, because they've stayed in church and they learn how to pray. They're going to learn, they're just some things I don't really need to pray about. Right? I mean, when your car's on empty, you don't need to pray about buying gas. You got money in your pocket.
Amen.
That's just common sense, right? I guarantee, but Chris, you don't pull up the gas station at Walmart and say, "Now, Lord, this thing's down to about an eighth. And I got $100 in my pocket. You think I ought to buy gas or not? I'll wait here, right here, for you answer." You'll be hearing people blow the horn. Get out of the way, you nut! But when that missionary comes by here and says, "God, you want me to have part in that? God, what about them little children he's talking about over in Albania? God, you want me to have part in that? I want to know, Lord." And if you have to wrestle with him all night long, if you have to forfeit a night's sleep, if you have to forfeit a meal or two through the day, remember when you used to pray and prayer was so powerful in your life and you never mentioned it, but everybody could see it. Just made you shine. I'm telling you, prayer, there's power in it, Brother Mike. There's power in it. I've seen people, they wasn't the president and they wasn't the mayor and they wasn't people in the big co-ops, but man, they was prayer warriors. I remember Sister Kathy Clark telling me about a lady that used to go to church over there with y'all over in, what was that lady's name that was on the radio? Sister Frances Cooper. Sister Kathy told me, she said, "That's a praying woman." She said, "I'm telling you, that was a praying woman." Well, you know what? Sister Kathy took note on that. Have I got to keep going with this? I mean, she took note on that. This is a dear lady used to come to our church here and has since moved away to the next town. She took note on that thing. And when her daughter and granddaughter got killed in the same wreck, and they asked me to go in there and pray with her, because I thought I was going to be a blessing to her. And I knelt down there, and she's already in the throne room, son. Son, I'm like, "Phew." That woman knew what praying was. That's what storms will do to us. It'll drive us down there. It'll drive us. Them people that you used to pray for, them sinners that you know ain't going to heaven, those that you know they're going to hell and used to weep and cry and pray and beg God to save them, and you quit praying, and if they go to hell now, it's just going to be, "Well, I done my best." You know why? Because the power in your prayer is gone. Gone. Is that not mine? Oh, it's gone. I can see it's gone on some of you. I used to mention just not names, just sinners, just lost folk. I could look around this church. Brother Ben, I could look around this church, and it's not just our church, it's probably y'all's church too. I'm sure it's probably every church you go to and churches that Jared goes to. I'm telling you, this country's going cold on God. But that don't give us liberty to be cold ourselves. I mean, if anything at all, I need to be running. I need to be hitting that altar. I need to find me a prayer closet. I need to find me a place out in the woods or wherever there ain't no snakes at. And I need to get me a place somewhere where I can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and ask God, "God, help me. God, show me. I need your touch. I need power in prayer." Because he calls me in the middle of the night and says, "I need you to pray." He means it. Sister Corrine's in the hospital right now. She needs our prayer. She's not doing real well. I don't know what all it is. I know she's having some issues, but But she needs our prayer. And we need to be praying. You say, well, I want to know what's wrong with her. You don't need to know what's wrong with her. You need to pray. Pray. See, that's what happens. We get so distracted. We lose that focus. And Brother Mark, we'll get think, what are they doing? What's wrong with her? And if you're in the medical field, it's just human nature for us. If you're in the medical field, so, well, what all have they done? Look at the wasted time when we could have been praying. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, the devil has distracted us. He's took our mind and our heart off the honor of God and said, hey, there's more things important. But I'm telling you, when Jesus is hanging on the cross and says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, He's asking forgiveness for me and you and all of mankind as He prays. As He prays. He went to the garden. Oh man, what a time. What a time in that garden. And Peter and the disciples stayed outside. And he's praying. They say sweat is as great drops of blood. He's sweating. You might not believe this, but if you've never gotten to the place in your life where your prayer became hard, I don't mean just hard to think of words. I'm talking about a battle in your prayer. I watched my wife lay in that corner over there one night. You remember that, Sister Mary? You remember that? You know she's in a spiritual battle? She's in a spiritual battle, and she's a weeping, and she's a crying, and she's a praying, and it was hard. And she says something scared me to death. I know it. But when I get confirmation on things sometimes, it just scares me. And she said, the enemy's here. I'm telling you, if you'd had been here to see that, oh God, have mercy. You know what she done? She kept praying. And then ladies gathered up around her and prayed. And I was praying and crying and begging God to do something. I'm telling you, prayer is not easy. It is not easy. The devil don't want you to pray. He don't want me to pray. Young people, he don't want you to pray. But I'm telling you, pray and pray and pray and pray without ceasing. You pray. You girls, y'all pray for a spouse. Pray for a spouse. And when you pray for that spouse, you pray that God will give you that spouse when He wants you to have that spouse. Because I'm telling you, that deceiver, listen, a boy ain't got nothing between his ears but sawdust. Every girl in the world is pretty. Not at first. But if they'll just stand in front of the mirror for a couple of seconds, they're like, all right. Oh, yeah, she's gorgeous, Lord. Taking him to Africa. Guess why? Pray, son. You better pray. Let me say this. Prayer strengthens the person who prays. Brother Arbor, you remember when you prayed so much? Would it be all right to say this? A storm drove you to prayer? Anybody else in here remember whenever you used to pray all the time? If you did, there's probably a storm drove you there. And we get in our prayer life, in the middle of that storm, while we're closest to God, we'll say, Lord, would you take this off me? I ain't God. I don't know how He thinks. I know what He writes, and I know what. But if I was Him, and I put you in a place where you was hurting, so you'd talk to me, Do you think I'd want to take that off of you? So you'd quit talking to me? One of the prayest men I know is a preacher. He's a prayer warrior. He's been at my house. He's stayed at my house many times. And been many times I'd get up in the morning to go in there and make coffee. And while I'm in there making coffee, I could hear him in his room praying. He texted me the other day. I don't know how I was doing. I told him, fine. Call me yesterday. And I'll see you next week, Brother David Nix. Wow. Brother David's a prayer man. You got any idea why David prays so much? And very seldom does he ever call me and say, I wish you'd pray for me and Miss Donna. Boy, we just talk to him today. You know what he said? You don't mind if I say this, do you? He said, how's Evan doing? I said, oh man, she's doing good. I said, she's just good. She's so pretty. He said, how's Sister Emily and Little Mike doing? I said, they're doing good. I need to talk to our church. I said, they're doing good. He's going to be over in McClinney next week, Brother Will Miller. You know Will? Brother Will Miller's having a tent meeting over in McClinney and a certain Monday night. Might be having it in the morning services. I don't know. I'll find out more. But every night, next week, Brother David and Brother Mike Norman will be preaching. And David will pray. You ain't got no idea about this. But you don't know how much time he spent praying for you. I talked to him. He said, how's that gal doing? I said, oh, son, the Lord's using her. He said, man, I pray for her. And Brother David, don't say that in a braggadocious way. And we shouldn't. But you know, just every once in a while, it'll help you to know somebody's praying for you. Don't they just kind of help you along the way? Brother Ben, somebody just sent you a text once in a while. I know you're on the road, brother. I want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you. I was getting in the office the other day. Jesse Craigle, don't know if you know Jesse or not. Jesse ain't never seen nothing but black. Ain't never seen anything. He's a young boy. His mama told him, says, I'm going to tell you, son, I ain't going to take care of you all your life. You're going to have to learn to get along by yourself. Now, most of us, if we have a child that's blind, we just say, oh, no, y'all move out of the way. Clear the aisle. Jesse's mama took him into the kitchen. And she said, I want you to feel everything in here so you'll know where you are. And she specifically took him to the place where the glasses was at. So he'd know which cabinet had glasses and drinking cups. And to the refrigerator so he'd know how to get his own water. She said, I ain't going to be here to help you all the time. Precious lady. I mean, she's not a mean woman, is she? Precious lady. Jesse goes through a lot of storms, you could imagine. Do you think he ever gets discouraged? If you don't, there's something wrong with you. He's a good brother, ain't he? I mean, say that you know him. I was sitting in there in my office, and I was listening to him sing, him and Jared, and Brother Mark Stroud's testifying. And I just sit there and watched old Jesse. I thought, man, those guys have been blessed to me. Been blessed to me. I know. I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost or just I just felt like it was the right thing to do. All these people that's telling me God's making them do all this stuff, I kind of got second thoughts on all that. The Lord spoke to me all the time saying, how come God talked to you and he don't talk to me like that? I would say a lot longer. Maybe closer to God than I am. I don't know. I seen the text. Just told him I loved him. I've been praying for him. I said, I call your name out every Saturday night. We'll pray for you. So I want you to know, Joseph Craig, you're blessed for me. It took about 4 minutes. My phone went back on. They said, preacher, I love you. They said, I love that church. They said, you sure have encouraged me. You know what he's going through? I don't. But it might have been timely.
Yes.
Timely. I'm saying there's power in prayer. And prayer will strengthen you as a Christian. Ladies, prayer will make you stronger. Young men, prayer will help you to be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be.
Yes.
We all have preconceived ideas of what Christians are supposed to be. We've looked in the books. We've looked in the Bible. We've watched the missionaries from days gone by. We've watched Whitfields and Muellers and Hudson, Taylors. And we've watched all these men. We've read about them. And we think if God ain't doing in our heart, in our life, what God did for all of them, that God ain't moving at all. But my name is not Hudson Taylor. My name is not George Whitfield. My name's not Ben Manley. I am who I am, and I got to have God to help me.
Yes.
And if I'm going to be a strong Christian, the last of the days, that'll just keep on keeping on. That's what I want to do. I'll just keep on keeping on. I don't want to have an X by my name where under that category said quit. Don't want to have that. Now, battles, they're coming. There'll come a day. Some of y'all in here, you'll probably get mad about something late. When you do, it's going to break my heart. And I'm going to have to face that storm. And I'm praying, Brother Leo, that I am just going to face it head on, accept the battle, and lean wholly on God. Then he'll take me through that one and ready for the next one. Because that's what'll be next. Power. There's power. There's power in prayer. Samson was not a praying man. But his father was. Verse 15. Chapter 13. Verse 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee. He's talking to the angel of the Lord. Until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. You know what he wanted to do? He's praying that God would let him be a blessing. That's where the storm comes. He's just praying to be a blessing. What you reckon the Lord wants me to do? Probably just be a blessing. Just encourage somebody. Just be a blessing. He don't want you to save nobody. He don't want you to change nobody. He don't want you to straighten nobody out. Just be a blessing. Just be a blessing. Brother, I opened up my wife's mail today. I didn't notice it. I got it in my pocket to get to it. Sister Gail, they made a, Brother Leroy and Sister Gail was here for the revival meeting. And not only did I read your mail, I'm going to tell everybody what it said. And that's pretty bad. But I thought it was funny because they made them a basket. Stuff for the hotel room, you know, snacks and waters and stuff like that. And they were just trying to be a blessing. And I thought about this. I thought, every time you try to be a blessing, you ain't a blessing. Because she is thankful for everything in that basket. Except. She said it was all a blessing. She said, I appreciate it all. She said, well, except for the sardines. And that was probably more of a joke than anything. So Sister Martha done that. And she just laughed about it. But you know, that's the way it is. Sometimes we're trying to be a blessing, we ain't. But you could be if you prayed real hard. Amen. Just pray real hard. God, help me to be what you want me to be so others can see you. Not even me. Most times we say, see you through me, but not even me. God, that they can see you. Your goodness, your strength, your power. Ain't he wonderful? Ain't he wonderful? Ain't he wonderful? I tell you what, let's take up an offering. Let's